I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Let's face it, we spend a lot of our life on candid camera. We're photographed by closed-circuit cameras in stores, at traffic intersections, and even by the stranger with a cell phone in hand. In the next few months, we could even be photographed by a Canadian man named Rob Spence. Now, that would be something new because, although Rob Spence, you're a filmmaker, yours is not the standard camera. What is it?
It's a head-held camera.
A head-held camera, meaning what?
Well, I mean that I'm a one-eyed filmmaker. My right eye socket has a prosthetic eye right now. But what I'm building is a prosthetic eye with a wireless video camera inside of it.
So it would be the size of an eyeball?
Precisely, yeah. There's small enough technology to fit in there now.
You will be able to actually film people through a tiny camera in your eyeball?
Correct.
Which eyeball?
Yeah. It's my right eye, or my right eye socket, I guess.
Socket, that's right. So how come, so what's happened to make you a one-eyed filmmaker?
When I was a kid, I thought it would be a good idea to shoot a pile of cow manure with a shotgun, but I had an accident with the shotgun and damaged the eye badly enough that years later I had to have it removed. So now I have a prosthetic eye.
What gave you the idea to turn the prosthetic eye into a camera?
It's just something that probably comes from watching Bionic Man or Star Trek. There's a lot of characters out there that have camera eyes.
How would it work? You're going to have a chip, presumably, in this camera, which is enclosed in what for your eye socket?
What we're doing is we've just taken a prosthetic eye shape. We're just making it out of clear plastic right now so that, you know, you can get an image into it. So then we just put the technology in the hollow middle and then pop it in.
Now, if you were looking at me and you had this camera in your eye, would I be able to tell if I was being photographed?
Well, certainly with the crude prototype, you would wonder what the hell is going on, because I'll have a clear plastic prosthetic eye filled with technology. So all the stuff inside would be very obvious. Eventually, our non-crude stage 2 prototype, we're going to paint it exactly like a normal prosthetic eye, so to speak.
What do you want to do with the video that you gather?
For starters, a documentary film.
On
essentially,
you?
It's a camera, so I'll have it for the rest of my life. And it's not a static camera. I can change it. I can put a telephoto lens in it. I can put a night vision thing in there.
No. You mean with a lens protruding from your eye?
Well, no. You know, just the same way that a cell phone might have a zoom on it that doesn't have a big protruding lens either.
Have you been contacted yet by the CIA?
No, but I was talking to one of the head guys at Associated Press, and he's interested in sending me across enemy lines to various places that other normal cameramen can't go.
And what'd you say to them?
That's quite an offer. I have to think about that. You know, we'll want to see if I get the eye working first.
Well, my guess is it won't be long before you hear from the CIA, FBI.
Well, I mean, that's part of the fun of making this documentary, is there is like a superhero element to this Eyeborg character that I'm becoming. I have this new power that I can use. But what I'm finding is that the public will treat you like a villain yourself. You know, I'm supposedly doing a film about surveillance, because by putting a camera in my eye, I've got this unique point of view to make a film about where technology and privacy kind of intersect.
But you're
like
going to be
blurred. Right eye.
In your right eye.
Of all the body parts, it's the most human part. And I think that from a film language point of view, it's really interesting to have a camera eye, because that's a sort of a magical kind of exchange between human beings. They'll be looking right into my camera in a way that you look at another human being when you're connecting with them.
Which could make you a voyeur, even if you don't want to be one.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not really doing anything any different than any journalist or anybody with a camera on their cell phone does. But people don't pull out their cell phone and take pictures of people in the locker room, you know.
Well, they do. I mean, sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
But
generally they don't.
Yeah, and it's still considered a violation. So will what you're going to be doing be a violation?
Well, I'm a documentary maker, so I need a release form.
So would you tell people before you started? Well, the camera's going to be running all the time, correct?
I would probably tend to record it and then edit it later. I'm a big fan of editing.
Well, there's a bit of a problem in that, and I'm sure you know what it is. It's that you're being filmed or taped even prior to you giving approval for it.
Yeah, so if people say they don't want to be in the film, then they won't. So I'm not really giving anybody any answers for all these strange new issues we have about privacy and technology. I'm just trying to ask the right questions and draw attention to it. I think the funny thing is, and this sort of goes along with the idea of me having a camera eye that I might stream to the internet, is that the worst offenders of all for invading our privacy these days is ourselves. We put so much of our private thoughts and moments on Twitter, on Facebook. We're kind of big brothering ourselves. You know, Big Brother is watching you, Facebook is watching you, and so is everybody else on Facebook. It's like the online world is this place that we feel like we have to put ourselves into. It's almost like an evolutionary imperative that, like, I want to be part of the media sphere. I want my pictures and my private life to be out there.
Can I just ask you one other thing? Do you ever have nightmares about this? I mean, I know that you're enticed by it, and we are too, but, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning just gives you the willies?
Yes, you've hit the nail on the head. We're scared of technology in a way, but we can't help but be drawn to it and use it more and more. I really think that if not my kids and my grandkids, the way they'll shock me is not by saying they're a gay punk rocker, which wouldn't shock me or disturb me at all. But the way that kids will shock us in the future is by saying, I'm going to take my natural eye out and put a better one in, even though I don't need to.
And they can blame it on Grandpa.
And they can say, you did it, Grandpa. And I'll say, I don't care, it's not right, you know. But I'll have no one to blame but myself.
By the way, you have the answer, I know, to our geo quiz. I wonder if you would tell us what city you would like to turn your eye on for your very first video.
That would be my hometown, Toronto, which is very near and dear to my heart. The last film I made was called Let's All Hate Toronto.
Which you don't.
Which I don't. Toronto is actually a very lovable place.
Canadian filmmaker, soon to become an iBorg, as he calls it. Rob Spence, good luck. Hope it all goes well, and we'll look forward to finding out what you do with your new eye.
Thank you very much.